Jesus Christ. Yes, He shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, He shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and say, Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive revelation knowledge that is found in the written word. We behold Christ today as He sees us in Himself. He is glorified and we are edified. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 28 from verses 18. Matthew 28. We are discussing on
the church of Christ, the local church, and me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The church of Christ, the local church, and me.
And
we said, this set of teachings is in line with the prophecy we received in the beginning of the year for the strengthening of the local church.
Hallelujah. So this is the week 4.
For the strengthening of the local church. And that's why we're teaching like this. So we're taking our time to teach.
Hallelujah.
What is my role in the church, in the local church? So we're not going to start talking about local church, but we'll get there.
Hallelujah. Don't worry, we'll get there. No rush. Amen. So, Matthew 28, from verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Okay, last week we deviated from Matthew 28, we went to Luke, right? We are back to Matthew. Okay, it says, go therefore, verse 19, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. 20, teaching them to observe. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, say, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age.
He said, go make disciples. Go make disciples. And we say that word for disciples is the word that implies go make students. So in the local church, let me get into it. Okay, in the local church or in the church, everyone is a disciple. That's the reason for the local church. That's the reason for the gathering. To disciple men. Hallelujah. So, he tells us how this will be done.
He says, teaching them what I have commanded you. Right? Hallelujah. So,
what has he commanded? Or what was his command? And we began to look at that. We said, what he commanded, that word, what I have commanded you, is actually pointing back to what he has taught them within the four gospels.
Hallelujah.
In fact, if you read Luke 24, for verse 24, he said, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you. So meaning what he will command them will still find it in the four gospels. I got me. That the word which I spoke to you, one of them, which is that all things must be fulfilled within the law of Moses in the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. And the Bible says he opened their understanding and they might comprehend the scripture. So he said what he taught them was concerning himself, which in verses 25, Luke makes us see that is concerning his death and his entry into glory. Did you get that? That is verse 27.
Hallelujah. Concerning his death,
his burial, and his resurrection. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we said it's the same thing with what he taught them in the resurrection. He said, these are the words I spoke to you while I was here. Meaning, what he taught them pre-resurrection and post-resurrection are the same.
You remember when he resurrected, he taught them for 40 days. Acts 1 verse 3. So he was teaching them for 40 days. So the summary of what he taught them was what Luke said. He said, these are the words which I spoke to you. Meaning, I can know what he taught them within 40 days. Hallelujah. What did he teach them? What was the same thing he taught them while he was yet with them? And Luke makes us see that he explained Genesis to Malachi within 40 days. So he was teaching them in all the scriptures.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, can we say what he taught them was what the prophet bore witness of? Yes. Look at that Luke 24. That was where we were last week. Luke 24. Now we can look at it again. Verse 25. He called them all fools. And said to them, all foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all the prophet has spoken. Now, what did the prophet speak about? 26. Say, ought not the Christ. Ought not the Christ. To have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. He has a beginning at Moses. So, where will be beginning at Moses? Where is beginning at Moses? Where did Moses start from? Moses started writing from Genesis. So beginning at Moses, will it be Genesis 1:1? Yes. Beginning at Moses. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Jesus started from there. Beginning at Moses will be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And all the prophets. Will that include Joshua, Judges, Samuel? Joshua. I'm already missing it now. Hallelujah. Joshua, Judges, Samuel. Yes, there's something about Samuel. Joshua, Judges, Samuel. Is it Kings, Kings of Chronicles? Yeah. Down to Malachi. I'm missing those things up now. Hallelujah. He taught them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
He told them, and he said he told them concerning him. Look at it there. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures. Meaning he didn't miss a scripture. In all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So when he uses the word to expound, is the Greek word that means he explained it. That is the word diamenio. Diamenio is from the compound word of dia and hemenio. Dia means to cut through, to go through. Are you hearing me? To go through. So Jesus went through the scriptures. Now that word hemenio is the word that implies to explain, like you are explaining a dialect. So Jesus went through the words of the prophet. He taught them the languages and he explained it through. He said the things concerning himself. So Jesus went from scripture to scripture, teaching them the things concerning himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what would those things be concerning? His death and his entry into glory. That is the resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, and we also looked at the fact that when he says, concerning the resurrection, we said the resurrection is concerning what? The church, right? Can we say it's concerning the church? Because the church came from the resurrection, right? Was that what we said? In the resurrection, the church was taken. So the church came from the resurrection. So when he said concerning the resurrection, would you not be teaching them concerning the church? He will be teaching them concerning the church. We said something last week. We said the reality of the resurrection is the reality of the church. Because the church came from the resurrection. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. Amen. He said, I will build my church. He said, and the gate of Hades, the gate of hell will not prevail. Hallelujah. So when he said the gate of hell, it's not referring to what some people do around. They will gather and say they want to start up the ministry. So let's pray that the gate of hell will not prevail. No. When he said the gate of hell will not prevail, he was referring to his death. Hallelujah. He was referring to his death. That I will die and death will not stop the church from happening. Because I will rise again. So in the resurrection is the proof. The resurrection is the proof that hell did not prevail. That word hell or Hades, that word hell is a Greek word Hades, which means the place of the dead. The place of the dead. Are you following me? So meaning death did not prevail when Jesus resurrected. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in the resurrection, Jesus built his church. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So we Instead, if we look, if we pay attention to Jesus' teaching in the four Gospels, we will see that he spoke of what was concerning the resurrection. We say what he spoke about was concerning the resurrection, which is what? Concerning the church. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's just track back what we've said within the last 3 weeks so that we would take it off from there. Amen. So we said, first of all, we have the person of the church, right? The person of the church is who? Christ in the resurrection. So when he said, I will build my church, the gate of hell will not prevail. Now when he resurrected, the church was built. So in that resurrection, he is the church. Do you understand? I will build my called at once. So in the resurrection, he is the person of the church. We said he is not a part of the church, he is the church. Are you following me? So when the Bible calls him, he is the head of the church. He's not trying to say, he's not, I told us, do not feature the part of your body. When Paul uses words like he's the head, we are members of his body. Don't feature my head, but should I have my knee, my toes, or you will lose it. Here's that. Paul is only using that to explain something. When he says the head, head means he is the source. Just like in 1 Corinthians 11, where the Bible says, the head of Christ is God. He's telling you that God is his source. Do you understand? So when he says he is the head of the church, means he is the source. So Paul, in explaining that, was not that last week, Paul went to Ephesians chapter 5. Was that last week or last 2 weeks? We went to Ephesians chapter 5. And he shows us something with Adam. Remember, Jesus will teach beginning at Moses. So, meaning what Moses wrote about is not story. Did that story exist? It did exist. Do you understand? There was Israel had that as a storyline. Hallelujah. They had that history. Right? In their history, in history, God made Adam and Eve. Do you understand? So what did Moses do? Moses wouldn't be writing down history. No, because history existed then as an oral tradition. Do you understand me? So they told the story of creation, right? So what did Moses do? Moses wrote that story of creation. But writing the story of creation, he wrote it in the light of salvation. So when I get to Genesis and I'm reading creation story and I forget the fact that Moses was writing salvation, I will lose the whole thing. Do you understand? Are you following me? If you read John chapter 5 verse 39, say you search the scriptures. Say you think, for in them you think you have eternal life. Say these are they that testify of me. Meaning scripture, Genesis to Malachi as a day, he said testify of me. Jesus is speaking. In verse 45, he said, from verse 44 to 45 and 46 and 47, he said, do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. I said, there's one who accuses you. He said, Moses, in whom you trust. He said, if you have believed Moses, you will have believed me. He said, for he wrote concerning me. He wrote of me. So many Moses writing from Genesis down to Genesis as well, the Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy is concerning Christ. So if I get to Genesis and I'm seeing Adam and Eve, I'm seeing marriage, and I say marriage is an institution set by God, you man, you leave the father and mother, and that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing Abraham's story and my mind is just on story. I will lose the big picture because Moses wrote concerning salvation. Are you hearing me? The same way when I get to Exodus and I see a rock, and I'm looking at a rock, I will lose the fact of salvation. Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Okay. How did I get there? How? Okay, yeah. Glory to God. So we said the church is Christ in the resurrection.
I'm trying to remember how I even entered
there. Yeah, I know. Why am I doing the revision? Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, thank you. So Jesus is the source. Hallelujah. He's the source. And I said that was why Moses will now. I showed us on Ephesians 5. Paul writing
And Paul and painted the picture of Adam and Eve. Hallelujah. And Paul made us see that Eve coming out of Adam. Eve came from Adam. He shows that that is how the church came from the person of Christ.
Do you understand?
That's how we came from him. So we came from him. Are you following me? So he is the person of the church. Hallelujah. We also saw that we are members of his body by the new birth, by believing in what he has done, by believing in the fact that God raised him up from the dead. Hallelujah. Now, by that belief, we are identified with the person of the church. Hallelujah. So that identification with him is what the Bible called, is what Paul called, we are members of his body. Do you understand me? So he uses the word body there to show that we came from him, not picture. Do you understand? So he uses the word body to show that we came from the head. Do you understand? So the body will proceed from the head. So we came from him by identification. Are you following that?
Are you following that? So take away that picture of human,
the part of the body from your head. Are you following me? So we are his body because we came from him. So that union of ourselves together in him is called church. Hallelujah. You understand? That union of us all together, as many that have believed in Christ, is called church.
Amen. So we saw the person of the church. We saw our unity with him as what? Church. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So we also have seen that the church of Christ, in reference to our unity with him, right?
Right? We said the church is united. We explained that, right? We explored that
really well.
And I said, beyond denominational affiliation, once a man is born again, it doesn't matter whether he's Igbo, Yoruba, Hausa, English, Efik, French. Once he's born again, we are together with Christ. No matter the race, hallelujah, we are brethren. Whether it's white garment, black garment, purple garment, green garment, we are together in Christ.
Are you following me? Hallelujah.
We are united in Christ. So we say God has achieved unity in the church by the resurrection. Like the Pentecostal, the Passover, the Sabbatino, the anything, anyhow, once you are born again, whether you are Catholic, you are the first one from Rome, from Corinth, no matter how Catholic you are, once you are born again, you are in Christ.
You like wear template or let template wear you.
Once you are born again, you are in Christ. We are brethren. Whether I know scripture or true and you don't know, you are in Christ. We are together. God has achieved unity in the body.
That's what we said, right? We also said that the church is complete. Complete. There's no deficiency. We saw that the church is the Father's house. John 14, right? The church is the Father's house.
In my Father's house are many mansions. We saw that.
The church is the Father's house.
The Father resides in us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
By the Holy Ghost that He has given to us. Amen.
We say the church has one life. Right? We saw that last week, right? We have one life. We have one spirit. One spirit. We don't have different kind of spirits. No, we have one spirit.
We say, I don't like the spirit. I don't like your Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is too slow to speak in tongues. You. No. Don't say that. Are you hearing me? Don't say that. Say no. You know, the Spirit of God in our church is complete. So the one elsewhere is not complete, but. No, now. Don't say that. Amen. Don't say that. Don't say that.
We have one Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13.
Say by one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. One spirit. Amen. Amen.
The believer who is drinking star and Buddha.
And you are not drinking anymore. have the same spirit. Woo, glory.
What's this?
Maybe his own became incomplete because he was, no. It's one spirit. Are you hearing me?
Amen. Glory to God. We'll get to see.
You know, I want this thing to be grounded because when we begin to look at the church, we begin to look at who do we have in the church, in the local church. Now look at this is different than in the local church. But first of all, understand this fact. The believer has born again. Tongue talking, that thieves. You need to carry AK-47 or AK-48. It's the same Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost did not leave that one because he was carrying more.
He said, I will pray the Father, he will
give you another comforter that he may abide with you for how long?
Forever.
Hebrews 13, we saw it. He said, I will never leave you. God. I will never. So it's the same Holy Ghost. That person did not go out of where that person is still in class.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Paul was to write to
the church, was writing to the church at Corinth. And there was a brother. His brother who did not lose. This is a brother who had his father's wife and was called a brother. This brother who did not lose. He's still a brother because he's in Christ. But Paul addressed the issue.
Hallelujah. And he taught us how to address such issues. Hallelujah.
But one thing you will see in the fact of your salvation is that you are still in Christ. The Holy Ghost is still in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So what if he denounces Christ? It's taboo. They don't like denouncing Christ. They don't like denouncing Christ.
Salvation is eternal. If you like, go to the letter, I denounce Christ. Oh God, you are in, no matter.
Amen. Salvation is eternal. Cannot be lost. Amen.
How are you looking at me? This is half the truth, but that's the truth. I hear me. No matter. You can't lose it. Amen. Because in salvation, we're going to look at that shortly. In salvation, you didn't do anything. What did you do? Nothing. Who did everything? He did. What did you do? Just believe. Back out. So he's the only one that can kick you out. And he says he will never leave you. Never.
You're born again, you don't enter. No going out. Amen. So let's continue. We have one life, we have one spirit. Hallelujah. We have one life, we have one spirit. Glory to God. So, I want to take your mind back to what we said the first week. I said, the church must first of all be seen where? We must first of all be seen where? In the resurrection. That's what I said. Must first of all be seen in the resurrection as our identification collectively in Christ in the new world. Our identification collectively in Christ. The church must be seen there first. The church is not cement, it's not Dangote. No! The church is not Baba Yanu cement, it's not Lafayette, it's not Dangote cement. No!
Glory to God. I don't know what Baba Yanu did to me. Well, let's continue.
Glory to God. Amen. So, with what you said, you can see that you cannot say one person. A single individual cannot be the church of Christ. Tell us that.
A single individual cannot be the church of Christ. No. The church of Christ is our gathering together in Him.
Tell us that. The church is a gathering together in Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We are members of His church. Say that together. No, we are members of His church. Say it.
We are members of His church.
Okay, say that, that we are members together.
We are members together
of His church.
Of His church.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we said the fact of the resurrection is the fact of the church. So let's see what Jesus said concerning the resurrection. Let's see what He said concerning the resurrection. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter number 6. Are you Matthew 6? I know you're inside me. I know you're in the new creation, and I know you're a sign on the inside of your children. Yes. So I lift my hands as I lift my voice. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Matthew 6, are you there? When they asked Him, teach us to pray. And Jesus taught them. What Jesus taught them was concerning the resurrection. What's concerning the resurrection? What will happen in the resurrection? And today, they are facts of the new birth. Do you understand me? They are fact of the new birth. So we don't talk down that Lord's Prayer. No, 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 no. They are fact of our new birth. Amen. Amen. I used to know that years back, I said something along that line. Very funny. Very funny. Years back. That the Lord's Prayer is not for believers. But then, it's for believers. Amen. Glory to God. They are fact of our new birth. Hallelujah. So we don't look down on them. Look at verses 10 into 11. He says, I'd like to read from verse 9. He says, this man are there for prayer. I want to read from verse 8. I want you to put on your thinking caps. Then also, remember what I told you last week. We're going to see bringing back to you. The lamb will be what? Never to remember. The lamb will be what? The lamb will be what? Killed, right? We are talking about from Moses now. What did Moses write? Remember, we said Moses will write concerning Christ. So Moses will say the lamb should be dead. Because Moses wants to prefigure the resurrection. So he does not want to. The best way to prefigure the resurrection is what he did. Because when you kill the lamb, there's no way the lamb can live again, right? But he wants to show you that that lamb will rise, right? He will come back alive and will be seen somewhere. So they said the lamb will be killed. The blood will be taken, right? That blood will is to signify life. You understand me? So when you take that blood, it means that that lamb is still alive. Meaning the lamb died. The taking of blood will mean that what? The lamb is alive. And it will be kept where? Or it will be taken where? Into the temple, right? So don't, remember when I explained it last week, right? But still have it in your mind. Just have Moses. You know, for those of us who have been around for our teaching meetings, which we'll be having one in the next 2 weeks, I always explain something to us that when the epistles were written, and when the epistles were written, what the same way you have Bibles now, what they will have with them when the letter that they read to them will be what? The Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi. They will have it like this. Do you understand? So because those epistles were explanations of the Old Testament books. Do you understand me? So we are getting this. So when Jesus also taught, he taught from Genesis to what? Malachi. Are you hearing me? So I want you to have that too around you, because we're going to look at that again today. Amen. Amen. Is this thing talking? Okay, glory to God. Okay. Look at verse 8. I want you to put on your thinking caps here. He said, therefore, do not be like them, For your father knows the things you have. You have what? Before you ask him.
Now, what is the asking? What is the thing you have need of? You know, I told our parents told us to always read in context. Because people get it, hey, God knows your mind. He knows what you want. And you know that's right from my brain. Do you see yourself? Do you see yourself? And I'm saying hey, that I say it so that I can have fun, that I need a car.
No. What is the thing you have need of? Underline that in your Bible.
Because we're going to see that now. Your father knows what you have need of.
Remember, he was writing to, he was talking to his to the twelve,
right? Now let's go ahead.
Verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray.
So he's not telling them what to pray for.
Say, our Father in heaven. He said, hallowed be your name.
I know where I'm going to, so don't worry, I'm not explaining much.
Say, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
I've already explained this. On earth as it is in heaven.
Just relax. We'll have that teaching in a matter of a few weeks from now. Hallelujah. The teaching on heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The way you, but basically, I told you when you see heaven and earth in scriptures used together, it has to do with what?
Let me do this for you.
It involves what?
Involves not.
Okay.
That one is heavy. It involves what? I know, we are born deeper. Just something basic. When you see heaven and earth used together.
I know you can teach. But not even the basic one. Go back.
Before we go to God and man, we do not just get to God and man in one day now.
I remember, we started from somewhere.
No.
I told you. See, before we got to God and man, you are not wrong, though. Eh? But before we ever got to God and man, eh? What I made up see, first of all, is that whenever you see heaven and earth,
together, used together in scripture, it is referring to amongst men. Something what is done amongst men. That was what I said first. Before we now graduated to God and man, God and man.
I know you know scripture. I know. I know. But calm down. Amen. Amen. So when he said, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that would mean what will be done amongst men will be what? Heaven and earth. Now let's now bring it God in man. Right? Right? We are there. Have we not arrived at the same point? We have. So what will God in man happen? In men. That is Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
So if you are still looking at Genesis 1:1, you're looking at sky and sun. What is that penalty? Don't show you.
Amen. You have missed it. You have missed it. Big time. Because heaven and earth will be Moses' language for the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. But we are not getting there yet. Hallelujah. So, you see why you must follow teachings. Glory to God. He said, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Meaning, the will be done amongst men. Right? God's will be done amongst where?
Men.
Amongst who?
Men.
Okay, so that is the, it will be done on earth as it is a. Now he says, give us this day our daily bread.
This is not going to look for a job. Why are you going to?
I'm going to look for daily bread. No.
He said, give us this day our daily bread. It's not, you know, some people say, oh God.
I've heard this before.
Oh God. You begin to pray. The Lord said, he will give you this day your daily bread. Your daily bread means what will bring income to your pocket.
Calm down, read it to us. Say, give us this day our daily bread. And that's the reason why most times we go back to the Greek word. Hallelujah. Now, when you look back at the Greek word,
What's the meaning of daily bread? That word daily bread
implies give us tomorrow's bread today. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, give us this day our daily bread. The daily bread
is used for what? That word daily is what lasts forever. Give us this day our daily bread. Tomorrow's bread. It's used for giving us tomorrow's bread, an everlasting bread. He give us tomorrow's bread today. He now said, and forgive us our debts. Now that word "and" is the same word "kai." Now that word "and" in scripture is not always used to, it's not always used as a conjunction. No, "kai" in context, you know what it's used for. Here it's not used as a conjunction. Here it's used to explain, just like in John 3:3, except the man be born of water. That is, that word "and" means that is the spirit. So I don't know if you understand me. So that's what "and" in John 3:5 is used to explain the spirit. Because when water is used in Israel, it's used for a new beginning. So Jesus is telling Nicodemus, except you are born of water, that is the spirit. So he uses water to come to his level. Do you understand? He uses water to explain the spirit. So he gets here and he says, give us this day our daily bread. That is, forgive our debt. So that means to say the daily bread is referring to here is the word forgiveness of sins. Do you understand me? So in the resurrection, we will receive what? Forgiveness of sins. When heaven and earth happens, which is God in man, when it happens, we will receive the forgiveness of sins. When did that happen? In the resurrection. So that's why when he resurrected, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. If you are here, and you've not listened to the message on CRC, Charismatic Renewal Conference, that is the message on assigning authority. Go and get the message and listen to it. I explained these things there. Hallelujah. Get it and listen to it. But I will still explain. So when he said all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, it means the authority of Christ will be found in heaven and on earth, which is where God in man, in the believer, you will find the authority of Christ. Do you understand me? So when heaven and earth happen, there will be what? Daily bread. Tomorrow's bread. A bread that lasts forever. Is that not eternal life we looked at last week? That is eternal life. Are you following me? Now, that comes that eternal life. It calls it for forgiveness of sins. Say, forgive our debt. Glory to God. Say, forgive our debt. So we'll be able to forgive our debt. Or that's bad translation. Hallelujah. Bad translation, forgive our debt as you forgive those who trespass. That's bad translation. What it means, the right translation in the Greek. The right translation will mean, forgive our debt, so we mirror that in how we forgive others. Do you understand? We mirror that forgiveness that we've received in how we forgive others. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's stop it. Let's stop there for now. Glory to God. So in the new verse, what the believers receive is the forgiveness of sins. And that is what is explained as daily bread. Give us this day that daily bread. That daily bread is the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. You know, last week we saw that Jesus' bread implies what? Life in the resurrection, right? Was that what we saw? We saw Jesus' bread to mean life in the resurrection. So the word daily used there is a word that means sufficient, that which lasts forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when Jesus uses that word, he uses it for eternal life. And eternal life is what Jesus calls the forgiveness of sins. That's what Jesus has explained. Eternal life is the forgiveness of sins. We're going to look at that now. Hallelujah. So for that, eternal life is the forgiveness of sins. says, ah, that is just that. That's the truth.
Amen. Amen. So eternal life is the forgiveness of sins we've received in the new birth. That word forgive, let's look at the word, let's take it one by one. The word forgive is the Greek word aphiemi. Aphiemi. A-P-H-E-I-M-I. A-P-H-E-I-M-I. Aphiemi. Is the word that means... Okay. Is the word that implies to let go. To flee. To let go. To release.
Till further notice.
Amen.
I like that explanation. To release to further notice. To let go completely. That's what Afiemi. Hallelujah.
Afiemi. It is from the noun aphesis. Aphesis.
You just use that word aphesis.
Or it has the noun aphesis. You just use that word aphesis in chapter 26 of Matthew on the communion table. Chapter 26, verse 28. Matthew 26, 28. He said, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins, for the aphesis of sins." Now that word aphesis means for the taking away completely of sins. So, on the communion table, Jesus said his blood is for what? The total taking away of sins. We are getting to something. I wanted to see something. So, what is the blood of Christ? What did we say the blood of Christ last week? The life of Christ, right? We called it the life of Christ. And we said the blood is the spirit of Christ, right? But that's what we said last week. What did you say? Hallelujah. Make sure you read your note before you come for every meeting. Amen. I was going through the prophecy we gave that I gave on the first day of this teaching.
How many of you remember? The prophecy is, make sure you stick to prophecy. The prophecy is stick to the end. Don't listen halfway. Listen to the end.
Amen. Listen to the end. Amen. Glory to God.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and break it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take me, this is my body."
And amen. Jesus, amen. Glory to God. So, we said last week that the bread, the water and the bread of Christ, the water of Christ, the blood of Christ and the flesh of Christ are used for what? Life in the resurrection. That was what we said. We said they are all used for life in the resurrection, which is eternal life. Hallelujah. Yeah, Jesus said we receive remission of sins in his blood. So when Jesus said, "This is my blood, take." Remember I told you, if you had that communion table and Jesus cut his blood literally, pia, and say, "Drink," will you drink? Will you drink? How will you drink somebody's blood? Are you Dracula? So that is, how are you a vampire? No, I want to drink this blood. And then, this blood is sweet. No, you wouldn't have done that, right? Uh-huh. So that means it actually is pointing to something else.
Are you following me? He's pointing to something else. And that is what he wants you to see. So meaning if you're on that communion table and you're saying, "This is my blood," and you're looking at what is the chemical name for blood? What is the chemical whatever for blood? No, what is H2O? Which are these for blood?
It's a mixture.
Teach me.
Okay, there's none. I'm a bloody commercial student.
So I thought there is a
whether it's tetrahydrocarbonate.
But Let's draw tables, we know. Okay, glory to God. Amen. What you did, you reminded me of something that happened this morning. I didn't say anything. Glory to God. Amen. So, when you are there, and Jesus said, this is my blood, and you are thinking of blood, your mind has not flowed. No, you must have read from chapter 1, 2, 3, before you go to chapter 26. And you have seen a lot of time he was talking about blood. We're talking about his life. John 6, 63 said, the words I speak to you are spirit and are life. Meaning what he was communicating here concerning the blood, the flesh, the bread, the water is life. And he now got to his communion table. And you are not seeing blood. They should collect all your certificates in school and send you home. Now this one you will never know book for life. You don't know. As if you are with me. For example, we stayed for 3 years and I kept talking blood. Blood means life. Blood means life. My flesh is life. My water is life. And when I got to communion table, I said, this is my blood. I didn't say, give me blood. Give me blood. Then there will be something wrong with you. You understand? Your certificate should be taken back. What you have is family. Take it back. Because he wants your mind to go where? To the life you will receive in the new birth. You understand? Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Look at Luke 24, 47. So he uses, we receive remission of sin where? In his blood. Right? We're going to look at that blood again. Glory to God. Luke 24, verse 47. I'll start from verse 44. And he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophet, and in the Psalms concerning me. And he opened his young understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sin. Now, you use repentance and remission of sin. They are not two different words. Remember that word and comes again. Repentance, that is the remission of sins. Hallelujah. Repentance, that is remission of sins, should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, what should be preached as the accomplishment of Christ in the resurrection is what? The remission of sins. So, what did Christ accomplish in the resurrection? The remission of sins. So, what did Christ accomplish in the church? The remission of sins. Are you following that? What did he accomplish in the church? The remission of sins. What did he accomplish in the resurrection? The remission of sins. Amen. 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 Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Then the apostles, let's see how the apostles now thought. You know, they were the first recipient there. Hallelujah. Let's see how Peter would teach in Acts of Apostles chapter 2. Let's look at Peter in Acts 2. Are you in Acts chapter 2? If you are there, I'm there. Now, Peter taught and taught them. He got to verses 38 and he said, Peter said to them, repent and every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, for the remission of sins, that you may receive the gift of the Spirit, the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, for the remission of sins, that you may receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Now remember the use of the word gift of the Holy Ghost there is what? Is what? I would read everybody. Is what? Utterance.
Why are you saying this?
It's utterance. Glory to God. Glory to God. Acts 2. That's where we are. Hallelujah. So Peter calls The new birth, the remission of sins. He said, repent every one of you, baptize in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of what? Sins. So the new birth is what?
We receive remission of sins in the new birth.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Chapter 3. Peter is still speaking here. Peter is teaching again. Verse 18. Now he said, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of the prophets that Christ would suffer, he has fulfilled. Verse 19. He said, repent therefore and be baptized, and be converted rather, that your sins may be blotted out. Hallelujah. Now, the original rendering of that verse is not that your sins may be blotted out. No. Hallelujah. The original Greek reads it this way. It says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins be blotted out. You understand me? So that the Greek word for me is the Greek word that implies something is not. Remember, I've shown us that before. That word may, many of times used in scriptures, is not conditional. It's actually affirmative. You understand? Because, you know, grammar has over the years changed. Do you understand me? So that is why most times we'll go back to look at it from the original. Hallelujah. We'll look at it from the original again. So from the original, what it means is that your sins being blotted out. So it's affirmative, not conditional. Hallelujah. Say, repent and be converted. That's yours. Now, when they repent, therefore, and be converted, it's not two different scenarios. No, it's the same thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That your sins may be blotted out. Hallelujah. He also says, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You see, it looks as if it's something that will happen, process of our brother. No. What does that mean? So that the times of refreshing is not a process. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it means repent and be converted. That your sins being blotted out when the time of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. So is at that time of refreshing that is the blotting out of sin. What is the time of refreshing? That is, I've told us that before. On understanding the gospel 2a, I said the times of refreshing that Peter is referring to here is referring to using it to teach identification. The times of refreshing will mean the indwelling. Do you understand? Hallelujah. The times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. That word presence is the Greek word prospon, an appearance from somewhere. Hallelujah. So where did Jesus appear to? We're about to see it. He appeared in our heart. Do you understand? So that is the indwelling. Are you following that? He appeared where? In our heart. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. In that day, you know I'm in the Father, and you in me, and I. Are you following that? Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's proceed. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. Look at verse 26. I'm also reading down to 26, but just calm down. We're going one by each. Hallelujah. So that word remission of sin means was a blotting out of sin, a taking away of it completely without traces. Glory to God. Verse 26. You first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you from your iniquities. Did you see that? In doing what? In turning every one of you from your iniquities. So he calls it what? Look at what he said. He said, God raised him up. He raised up his servant Jesus, sent him. That's sending him. Where did he send him to?
Your heart. So the indwelling is the turning away, is the taking away of sin.
Are you following that?
What is the indwelling? It's taking away of sins.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To turn every one of you from your sins. from your iniquity. So the indwelling is what? Taking away of sins, right? Are you following that? The resurrection, which is the indwelling, is it taking away of sin, right?
The resurrection, which is the indwelling, is the same thing as what? The forgiveness of sin. So the taking away and the forgiveness of sin is the same thing.
So is that indwelling eternal life? Is that indwelling remission of sins?
Yes.
He
has all two separate experiences.
The Holy Ghost is somewhere. Eternal life is somewhere. Remission is somewhere. No, it's one experience that we are explaining. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 10. Quickly. But looking at how the apostles explain it. Explained it rather. Glory to God. My certificate is fine. Verse 37. Amen. Are you there? Sorry? Okay. Verse 39. This is... I'll start from verse 37. This is Cornelius' house. Let's see what Peter explains. Are you with me? Are you with me? I'm going to be fast. Now he's speaking to Cornelius. He said, "And the word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, and beginning from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." Stop. Okay, let's continue. Verse 39. "And we are witnesses of these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on the tree. God raised him on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to judge, that means to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive what? Will receive what? Remission of sin." So what would that remission of sins be? The indwelling of the Holy Ghost, which is Christ in you. Did you see that? What do you receive in the new birth? The remission of sin. First of all, let's start from the basic. What do you receive in the new birth? When you get born again, you receive the Holy Ghost, right? And is that the remission of sins?
Yes.
Are you following me? Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Go away. Look at chapter 13. Let's rush to Paul. Chapter 13. Let's see Paul. Are you there? This is Paul teaching. Now, verse 37. I want to just cut it short. "But he whom God raised up saw no corruption." Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. "Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you what? Is preached to you what? Amen. Now that word forgiveness of sins, you know, English today has made it look lighter. In English today, when you hear forgiveness, it means to pardon. No, it's beyond a pardon. The original Greek word is aphesis. It's the same thing with remission. Aphesis. It means to take away. To take away completely. Are you hearing me? It's not a pardon. The forgiveness of sin we receive is not a pardon of for sin. It's a total taking away. Is a what? Total taking away. Total taking away. Say total taking away.
Total taking away.
Amen. 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 Glory to God. Ephesians 1:7. Paul again. Ephesians 1:7, Ephesians 1:14. Colossians 1:14. That the same thing. The same word. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:7. Say in him. Say in him. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins.
Hallelujah.
So through his blood we receive forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Say in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So we have received the remissions of sins in the new birth.
We have received. Is it through his blood? Can you now see what he observed closely with what we read? If you look closely, you discover that blood and spirit are used interchangeably, even by the apostles. Look at it critically. Hallelujah. He says he sent Jesus to your heart. For what? The turning away of your iniquity. He uses spirit and what? Blood interchangeably.
We're about to round that up. Hallelujah. So it is clear that in the new birth, what we receive is the remission of sins. Lastly, let's look at the writer of Hebrews. That's where we'll close. I believe so. Should this be my first, we will close. This is where we'll close. This is number one, right? I'm trying to observe it. Hebrews chapter 2. Let's see the writer of Hebrews. There's something I would have loved to show us about the book of Hebrews, but I will leave it for one of our teaching meetings. It's here, but I'll skip it for one of our teaching meetings.
Amen. Glory to God.
So let's look at Hebrews chapter 2. I'll read from verse 17. Are you with me? Verse 17. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest. The writer of Hebrews shows us that the ministry of Christ, shows us the ministry of Christ as the high priest. So when he writes that, he expects that your mind goes to the priest, the high priest of old. So the reason for the high priest that Moses had was to show them what? The ministry of Christ. Are you following me?
The same way the Levites, the reason for the Levite family is to show you, is to show the believers. The Levites is to show the believers. Because they are priests. And the Bible says we are priests. You understand me? So those are symbols that Moses actually used to explain what salvation. So in the new birth, we are all, remember he told them, okay, have I showed us that? Yes, we did. That we are a kingdom. He showed them that God's plan for them was to be a kingdom of priests in Exodus.
Right? But because of their unbelief, he now brought out, he showed them the children of Levites. He said, they shall be called priests. Do you understand?
Hallelujah. Because of unbelief. So he now used the children of Levites as a symbol.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. There was one guy like that. He came to the office and was arguing with everybody.
You are there. Tithe is God, not tithe. It's Old Testament. It's Old Testament. You never get involved in all those
junks.
It's nonsense. So, there's another guy that was trying to show you, whoa, tithe. So, you know, they just got themselves twisted. And I was able to help them out, but with a very controversial question I asked them.
I said, okay.
Tithe was before the law. Agreed?
Agreed.
Fine.
The law
only helped us administer tithe. Agreed?
Agreed, yeah. I did go somewhere, but they did not know.
And I asked, in tithe, who received tithe under the law?
It's a big one. I didn't want, I was not doing any teaching.
Who received tithe? Delivered. So therefore, today,
it is believer that should be receiving tithes. And I left. Just very simple. Question and answer.
And then therefore, they should bring, I said therefore, if you are a believer, they should bring their tithe to you. Bye-bye.
And I left. Sir, what does it mean? It means what I said. Let's continue. Amen.
People get themselves unnecessarily entangled in too many nonsense.
Glory to God. Amen. I guess by next year we should be able to have that teaching on tithing. I guess by next year. I guess so. So don't hold me to it. If we don't see it next year, we'll continue. There are several things we do. Glory to God. Amen. No rush. It's a long haul. So it shows you that the high priest of old was used as a symbol for Christ's work. Are you following me? Amen. Okay. So if the high priest was a symbol, that means the tabernacle, the tabernacle of Moses, was also a
symbol of the real tabernacle. How do you understand what the writer of Hebrews is trying to paint here?
Amen. Look at Hebrews 8. Look at Hebrews 8. He says something else. He said, now, this is the main point of the things we have been saying.
Meaning, what is the things they have been saying? Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. See, now, this is what I'm trying to let you know.
Even man will say, let me coagulate here. Let's do it here. This is the high point. Did I say high point? This is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such an high priest who is seated in the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens. Amen. A minister of the sanctuary, and the true tabernacle which the Lord erects, and not man.
First of all, he calls sanctuary. He talks about what again?
Throne. Hallelujah. There's throne, right? In verse 1 now. The throne, right hand. Now,
when you hear heaven, is where? Heaven is where? Where God dwells. Our Father, who is he? Yes. Very simple.
You know, there are some things you don't need to fight, disturb your head. Am I teaching you guys? Am I teaching you?
When you say, what is heaven? Our Father, who is in heaven. So what is heaven?
Where God dwells, where the Father dwells, right?
Is it not simple?
Simple.
Where does he dwell today? Chicken, huh?
Are you following me? Our Father who is in heaven. Where is the Father? Where is the Father?
In the new verse, where is the Father?
In that day you know I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you.
So where is the Father?
Where is the Father's house? Are you following? Okay, glory to God. So, meaning what he's explaining in chapter 8 verse 1 is referring to what? In the believer. So he calls Jesus the what? High priest. And he calls the and he said he's seated in the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heaven, meaning where in the believer. That is the right hand. Hallelujah. We are in this ministry, I don't know that the right hand is in the believer. Meaning you've not been listening to me. Say, all through your lockdown, you are locked down. Amen. Verse 2, a minister of the sanctuary and the true tabernacle which the Lord erects and not man. Automatically here, he has just discredited Moses' tabernacle, which the Lord erects and not man. So meaning the tabernacle he's talking about is not the one made with hands, not the one made with men, not the one made with Dangote or Lafarge or Baba Yami. Amen. Glory to God. Are you with me? The true tabernacle. So he has discredited it. Look at verse 3. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one have something to offer. Hallelujah. So what did he offer? Who will take the blood of the lamb? The high priest. He will take it where? To the temple. Now we see that temple is discredited. So if the temple is discredited, that means the blood too has been discredited, right? Has been discredited too, right? That means that the lamb too has been discredited too. Are you following that? Glory to God. So that is why we get to chapter 10. He quickly tells you, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. So it's not showing you that all everything that Moses asked them to do was just a shadow. A shadow of the real thing. When there is a shadow, there is the real thing. So that is shadow. That means there is a real thing. So the real high priest is Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's move ahead. So what they had was a shadow. There is the real priesthood, which we are. Glory to God. There is the real high priest. There is the real tabernacle. Amen. 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 Let's go back a bit to chapter 7, verse 26. Okay. 26. For such a high priest was fitted for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher, and has become higher than the heavens. Verse 27. Who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, and then for the people. That's the high priest of Moses. For this did once for all when he offered up himself. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. See, for the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. Hallelujah. Who has been perfected forever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The high priest of Moses will have to offer sacrifice for themselves because they too they are not sinless. Hallelujah. But in Christ's priesthood, Christ as our high priest, he didn't do it every time. The high priest will do it every time, once in every year. We saw that in chapter 10. The offer of once every year. That once every year, Moses did it like that to show that the offer of sacrifices once every year, to show you that the sacrifice they will offer, or the sacrifice of Christ,
will be once for all time. So that once every year is to show once for all time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's why the Bible says there's a reminder of sin every year. Because they offer it once every year to show this will be once for all time. Once for all time. Hallelujah. Christ offered himself once for all time. So what did he offer?
Himself.
Hallelujah. What did you do? Nothing. 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 Where is your own process? Nothing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen.
Chapter 9. Verses 13.
He said, for if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify for the purifying of the flesh. He didn't even get to the spirit. He didn't even do the flesh where I said. Hallelujah. Say, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the internal spirit, the blood of Christ, you remember we've seen that he offered up himself, the blood of Christ, who through the internal spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead work to serve the living God. So where did God offer? Where did Christ offer it? Where was he offered? In our hearts. Where was the center point? In the heart. That is what he's saying. Are you guys looking at me like that? Are you not reading your Bible? Look at your Bible. He said, let's look at that again. Verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit, hallelujah, hallelujah. So he calls the blood of Christ the spirit, hallelujah, offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience. So where is the focus point? The heart of man, the inner core of a man's being. The heart of man. Hallelujah. Cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Christ offered his blood. Hallelujah. Offered his blood. Offered himself in the resurrection. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I have something here. We've seen that the blood of Christ is the spirit in the resurrection. And he offered it in our hearts. So therefore, when Moses prefigured that man that died, that was killed, and the blood will show that he has arisen, right? And he took it into the temple. Where would that temple now be? My heart. Hallelujah. Don't you know that your bodies are the temples of the living God? Hallelujah. He offered it where? In our hearts. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Offered it in our hearts. Would that be the indwelling of the Holy Ghost? Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there are some people that think when Jesus resurrected, he went to the to the holies of holies. See, he passed the holy place. And he got to the holies of holies. And you know, in the holies of holies, the place was dented with the sins of the whole world. So Jesus had carried the blood and was sprinkling it. Went to heaven. No, that's not what he did. If you see that happen, if you are looking at that, you are not seeing well. Glory to God. You are not seeing well. Because he makes you see that where you offer it is in your conscience. He mentions the conscience. Hallelujah. Which the writer of Hebrews is trying to make you see that it is in the heart of man. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. It is in the heart of man. That's where he offered it. Not any. So there's no place somewhere. Okay, let me help some people. In heaven, in the sky, that the sins of man are now dented, now black. Heaven. No. Hallelujah. No. Glory to God. No. There's no place like that. where Jesus offered his blood, which is his spirit, is where is in our heart.
Where did Jesus offer his blood?
In our heart. That is his spirit.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And that is the remission of sins. Hallelujah. So it shows that the priestly ministry of Christ was carried out in our hearts. Was carried out in our hearts. Hebrews chapter 10. We begin to close. Hebrews 10. I'll read from verse 11 into 18. Hebrews 10. And every high priest stands, ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he has offered one sacrifice for sins forever, glory to God. Where did he offer it? We've seen it in our hearts. Glory to God. He sat down at the right hand of God. That is the indwelling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He sat down. Glory to God. From that time, waited till all his enemies be made his footstool. For by one man's offering, he has perfected forever those who have been sanctified. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after that they see the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts. I will put it in their minds and write them. Hallelujah. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more.
Where is the writer of Hebrews reading for? The Old Testament.
He said, their sins and their iniquities, I will remember no more. So what we've received is not a pardon.
It's a total form. It's a total remission. There is no remembrance of it anywhere. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Verse 18. Now, where there is remission of sins. Hallelujah. Now, where there is remission of this, rather, where there is remission of this, there is no longer an offering for sin. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So that means we've received that remission of sin by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Yes. Can we say the Church of Christ has received the remission of sins?
Yes.
Can we say the Church of Christ is not deficient? Or can we say the Church of Christ, let me paraphrase it well. We can say the Church of Christ does not have a sin problem. Can we say that?
The Church of Christ doesn't have a sin problem. Is it hard for you to believe that? Let that be the core of your salvation. You don't believe it.
Is it hard to say that the Church of Christ does not have sin problem? Eh? Hallelujah. Everybody will leave the house of our God that is there.
Glory to God. Can we say we don't have a sin problem?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Row by row. Can we say we don't have a sin problem?
Yes, sir.
I want to know the people that are not talking.
Can we say we don't have a sin problem?
Yes, sir.
Can we say we don't have a sin problem?
Yes, sir.
Pastor, follow up.
Bro Timmy, can we say we don't have a sin problem?
Row 2 says row of column. Row Ani. Can we say we don't have a sin problem?
Yes, sir.
Can we say we don't have a sin problem?
Yes, sir.
Row here. Can we say we don't have a sin problem?
Yes, sir.
This is more likely. They receive. Okay. Row there. 1, 2, 3. Okay, row 4. Can we say we don't have a sin problem?
Yes.
I'm coming there. I'm not. That is good scanty. But after 1 hour, 40 minutes. the unbelief, they will start to do forgiveness. You believe you have to forgiveness now? Yes, now. That means we'll give you your own block. I will show you your own table to come to your pain every day. We will not teach you by signs and symbols. Hallelujah. Okay, let me do that. Okay, everybody here, together, I'm listening to you. Can we see? We don't have the same problem. Okay. We have sin problems. Can we say we don't have a sin problem?
Yes, sir.
Man of God. Can we say we don't have a sin problem?
We have a sin problem.
Hey. Hallelujah. The church doesn't have a sin problem. We don't. Hallelujah. Glory of God. Because that is the core of our Christianity. If Jesus never forgave sins, then you never have the Holy Ghost. If Jesus never forgave your sins, then you are one man in misery. And everything you've been learning in Christ is babash. But thanks be to God. Hallelujah!
Yeah.
Glory to God!
Hallelujah.
Our sins are forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. Hallelujah! Remember, I didn't say can a Christian commit sin? There are two different things. And then the Church of Christ, we don't have the sin problem, right?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. That's what Jesus has done. So he has presented the church blameless, without spot nor wrinkle. He will not do it, he has done it. Hallelujah. The church of Christ is without spot nor wrinkle. That is the characteristics of the church, without spot nor wrinkle. Or any such thing. You can't find it in the church. That's what Christ has achieved, that's what God has achieved in the church. Amen. We'll get to discuss several other things as we go into next week. Begin to dive into the local church little by little from next week. Hallelujah. Let's be on our feet. Hallelujah.